Tuesday's beginning run.
We are running Tuesdays only for this week because of something that happened, which we're not mentioning.
Yes. No, that sounds so grim, doesn't it? Something positive.
Something awesome happened. Pete Bryce's page. If you haven't already, Bryce V. Mills, you can check out his big news. Figure it out. Anyway, you're listening to God Is Dead, the show where we take the strangest things that we can find on the internet and use them as proof to let people know that God has abandoned us all. My name's Campbell Walker.
I'm Bryce Mills.
And today I, I've brought in a case that's close to my heart. How much do you know about Pokemon?
Oh, I know a lot about Gen 1.
All right, definitely, sweet. It's definitely all about Gen 1.
Yeah, great.
And you know what? It's going to take up the whole episode, so I don't think I'm even going to tease it any more than that. Everything that we talk about, as always, is at God Is Dead, not clickbait, so you can check it out there.
God Is Dead, deep dive.
Collectibles Guru.
Pokemon, for those who don't know, imagine if I actually started like that. No, we all know what Pokemon are, and we all know what Pokemon cards are. They're the cards that came out in 1999, and they would each have a different printed Pokemon on those little bits of cardboard. Mm. Those bits of cardboard are quite interesting because there is a finite amount of them, and do you know much about card culture?
I mean, yeah, like obviously there's, you know, different grades of like mint condition and exclusivity and like age of them, and like, you know, the cards could be valued tens of thousands of dollars if you wanted, hundreds of thousands if you wanted. It's pretty tough out there.
It's pretty crazy, and cards are having a bit of a moment in the sun right now, and that's thanks to a few key players on the internet, one of whom we've talked about on the pod before, Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary Vaynerchuk has recently gone absolutely ballistic with basketball cards.
Oh, I heard about that.
Buying basketball cards, and now he's pivoted into Pokemon cards. And actually my business...
Is that why you have one up there?
Yeah, actually, so Bryce, for the listeners, is pointing to a basketball card on my wall, and that is because my business partner, Aaron, is a huge collector and reseller he's one of Australia's biggest resellers and collectors of basketball cards.
Is that right?
So I feel quite close to the issue just out of Aaron often telling me, he's like, bro, look at this bit of cardboard, 10K right here.
Wow.
And he'll be like, man, I just got this rookie card of this guy who everyone reckons is going to blow up and da-da-da-da-da, and he's very into the specifics of it. He's a real red string on a corkboard when it comes to these sorts of things. And he's also recently started finding that as Pokemon blows up and Yu-Gi-Oh! Blows up, that he started to invest in those worlds as well.
Yeah.
Now,
Pokemon's been a thing for a while. Is it having even more of a thing?
It's having even more of a moment, and that is due to more key players. So one of whom was
Logic.
Logic. Yeah. So Logic bought a 1999 first edition Charizard for...
The rapper Logic.
Yeah, not the concept Logic. Yeah. Not if A then B. No, the rapper Logic bought a 1999 first edition Charizard for $226,000.
Which feels like too much.
It does feel like
he got played, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But he doesn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about that. And that's sort of, as Aaron's described the NBA card system to me, he says there's sort of like a pulled up economy from celebrities who just want the card for clout or the card for the post because they've got too much money and they do all this sort of thing. Now, who is somebody on the internet who has too much money and wants a little bit of clout?
Logan Paul! I know about this.
Yeah. All right, so Logan Paul has also been getting into Pokemon cards.
Yeah. What is that? Does it do a good or a bad thing for the economy, celebrities paying too much for cards?
Great thing. Great things. Yeah.
Great things for the people that have them.
Yeah.
Not so the ones that want it, I suppose.
Okay. So that's an interesting point. Like, because it does inflate the price of the card, which is theoretically what you want in a market. So like if you think about it, like Bitcoin, as the price of Bitcoin went up, then people who were holding onto one thing, which cost them only a small amount of money, could suddenly be holding onto the same thing, which is now worth even more amount of money. So theoretically, like, better. I see where you were like, oh, would that price people out of the market? I guess that would be analogous to the housing bubble, maybe.
Something like that. We haven't even thought about that because it's not going to apply to us in any time.
Hell no.
Having a house.
No. So Logan Paul, here's a clip from Logan Paul buying...
Oh, yeah, this looks
first
familiar.
Edition Pokemon cards on an auction.
$165,000.
So he buys these first edition Pokemon cards, a box set, for $204,000. Now, with these box sets, it's... do you remember when you'd go into the toy store and you'd see a box and it would have all the different cards in them and those things would be opened and back
in the day... You
mean
the boxes, it's like they have mini sachets of
10s. And you could buy those 10s for, you know, like dollars, considering what they're all worth now. But also you don't know what's in them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the box that contains those that would be in the store. So those are the things that are really, really rare in this world, and those are the things that seem to be driving
this
story.
Unsealed boxes like this
shit. Exactly. Yeah. Buying it cherry.
The breaking open of those is a very sacred act and like holy fuck moment. But also, it's quite a satisfying genre of YouTube video to watch people just open those mini 10-pack things, and you like go through and you shuffle through, and it's like a roulette of like they save the rare one, because you do get one rarer card in each pack, or two, one and another type, and then the end, you know, you finally see what they got. I even as someone who doesn't know much about the cards, I liked Pokemon so much, and I loved Gen 1, but I didn't necessarily understand the game of the card game.
Neither did I. Yu-Gi-Oh was a lot easier to understand if you ever got into that. Once again, it's in my world just because Aaron's been playing it online.
Yeah, right.
Aaron's an interesting guy. I freaking love that dude. Anyway, I could talk about him till the cows come home. So, as you just said, you don't know much about the cards. If you were a rich guy and you were buying these cards and you didn't know much about the cards, you would get somebody to help you, wouldn't you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Maybe if you were smart, if you knew nothing, you would just go, time to rip them open and play.
Oh, you might do that. So you would probably get somebody who calls themselves maybe like a bit of a guru?
Sure.
Maybe a guy called Collectibles Guru.
I mean, why not?
This dude called Jake. So enter Collectibles Guru.
Financial advisor.
Yeah, he's like...
For a thing, you
basically
know?
That. So he used to be a crypto trader, and now he's like, oh, man, I really... I guess Pokemon's pretty cool as well. So this guy here, this bald motherfucker, Jake, is called Collectibles Guru. Here, his role is he owns the box that he's selling to Logan Paul, and he's also going to be the expert who verifies it and gets Logan Paul into the world.
Crazy, bro. I feel like you're delivering me drugs.
This feels like I'm trafficking a kilo, but like the price is actually probably more than a
That's
kilo
what I'm saying.
By weight.
Look at this, look at this.
Meet Jake, a collectible guru, also known as Collectibles Guru on Instagram. He was nice enough to sell me 7 of these little pieces of cardboard for $50,000.
Like, is Logan a fan, or is he just doing this for content? Is he a Pokemon, like, he'd be, like, getting joy from this? Or is he, like, I know people like this?
I would assume a little column A, column B. I mean, who doesn't like first-gen Pokemon? You got to be heartless to not like that. So, as they start opening these cards, which, by the way, you mentioned the grading system before. The grading system has lots and lots of different variables in it. But one variable within the grading system is the actual condition of the card.
Yeah, totally.
So, if you're opening brand-new cards and you're not putting them into a case, then you're instantly going to take something from perfect condition, like from a 10 to a 9.5 by simply putting fingerprints on it.
Yeah, slimy fingers.
As we can already see, Logan Paul and Collectibles Guru are already starting to do that. So they've got this Bulbasaur, this like 1999 rare Bulbasaur. This Bulbasaur is worth $4,000 in like grade 10, like perfect condition.
Yeah.
Listen to how Collectibles Guru, the alleged Pokemon card expert, prices it.
And this is a fantastic Bulbasaur. If it comes back at 10, based on your estimate.
Of course. Gorgeous card. Thanks, Sam. No issues.
Okay.
How much? BGS, 10,000, 20,000 plus, maybe 30.
What? How did you know the price difference?
Oh, because I watched a video on the price difference. So he says 10, uh-oh, 20, maybe 30. A pretty wide window.
And it wasn't like a shiny one or didn't have any like interesting details. It was just an OG one.
Yeah, so I just put that. I got that from another YouTuber who pretty much did this whole story. He covered it very incredibly. Pay Wubby Money, I believe, is the name. And he had a really good point. He's just like, look, this isn't weird. You know, some people say this, like, and maybe one day, like, the value of the card will be $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. But right now, as it would sell, it would be a $4,000 card. He's like, I just put this clip in because it's a gigantic red flag for what's about to happen.
Uh-oh.
So, enter a new YouTube channel called Dumb Money. Dumb Money is a bunch of rich people who just spend money in a dumb way.
Yeah.
It's sort of Mr. Beast without the subscriber base.
Yeah, or like the philanthropy, I guess.
Yeah. And one great way to spend money dumb is to cash in on whatever's going around YouTube. And if Logan Paul's buying expensive, fancy Pokemon cards, that's a great way to spend dumb money and get the views that you really wanted. So Dumb Money decide to also buy a big box of Pokemon cards from Logan Paul's guy, Collectibles Gurus. This is what they decide to do, right? And because it's content, they decide that they're going to make the trade on a live stream.
Uh-huh.
Live streams, as we know, things can go wrong. Now, these people have a bit of money, so they can do more than just fly out Collectibles Guru. They can also fly out a Pokemon expert, a guy who's an actual expert, not a guy who says maybe $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for a Bulbasaur. So the dynamic is a bunch of rich people just trying to get views, a Pokemon expert, and a guy who claims to be a Pokemon expert who is selling these cards.
Mm.
And so begins the live stream.
All live.
Welcome to a very exciting Dumb Money Live. We are live in person.
It starts relatively innocently, but it's also in the aftermath of that little Bulbasaur blunder where Jake...
Oh, did people call him out after
that? Yeah, people called it out. And so he decides to sort of like rectify his name a little bit mid-live stream. He says this.
Oh, yeah. I was giving prices that people would laugh at. Like, if 2 months ago, I was like the laughing stock of the Pokemon community. In the video with Logan, where I sold him a card under market.
And this is the YouTuber Logan Paul.
Right? YouTuber Logan Paul. I was the first person to sell the Logan. And during that deal, I sold him under market cost. Everyone's like, oh, you're inflating prices. You're selling him to him over cost. And so I look at it as an investment, too, because that $6,000 brought the exposure of 20 million people who had never even heard of Pokemon since 1999. Back into the space.
What he's talking about is a card that he sold for $6,000, which was worth dramatically more money. And he's saying, but the knock-on effect is the exposure, and the knock-on effect of exposure is for the entire market to go up.
Yeah.
It's a weirdly open way to talk about like kind of rigging a market, but yeah.
I did it for the culture.
I did it for the culture, yeah.
So people say he's only in it for the money. The only reason I got into Pokemon is it's my favorite thing from my childhood and the only thing I'm nostalgic about.
But meanwhile, he's still got the box of Pokemon cards that he's going to sell to the people.
One of these, as we talked about before, like big pack full of mini packs.
And as we mentioned before, these big packs full of mini packs are sealed up.
Yeah.
Now, the way that these things can get traded is quite interesting. So if you've got a good box of Pokemon cards and it's sealed, I could sell it to you and you could buy it for whatever the market value is of that box, assuming that it has X amount of good cards, X amount of bad cards, and from where it comes from. But you would also know that it's in perfect condition. So you could hold on to it, not even open it, because you know that to open it would decrease the condition and therefore the value. Let it appreciate just somewhere in your closet, and then in a year's time or 2 years' time, sell it. Now, let's say the buyer does the exact same thing. Then nobody's opened this box of Pokemon cards for like five different buyers until it gets to the right person. Now, these have been around since 1999. So that is entirely a possibility that people just send sealed boxes to each other, sealed boxes to sealed boxes to sealed boxes. Here's the interesting thing. These people don't want a sealed box. They want to open it. And they want to open
channel.
It
it's dumb on money.
Their live stream.
Uh-huh.
This comes as a big shock to Collectibles Guru, as we soon find out.
I didn't know if you actually wanted to open
it. Yes, we're going to open. Let's have it open like, on camera live so we know we're not doing anything weird with the packs.
No problem.
What did you notice about the way he said no problem?
No problem.
No problem. No problem at all.
No problem.
So here, Collectibles Guru starts talking. He starts saying a few things that maybe, I don't know.
Oh, no.
Might
brace the audience for something to go wrong.
Let's put it that way.
Let's have it open like, on camera live so we know we're not doing anything weird with the packs.
No problem. The owner of the box supposedly bought three boxes when he was a child. His parents bought him three. They sat in a gun safe the entire time. There's a little bit you'll see of wear on one of the top edges. He says 100% money back for me if indeed it is fake. I spoke to him yesterday. Good guy. I've done lots of deals with him before.
Oh, that's a real shaky voice.
It's a real shaky voice. As soon as they say that we're going to open it on camera, he's like, oh, snap. He starts sweating. It's also the first time of a mention of the box even like potentially being fake.
Having a bad, oh, interesting.
So he starts kind of giving all this like foreshadowing type information, all this information that might cushion the fall just in case this box is fake. And I didn't really expect you to open it. I just thought I was going to take the money and go.
Fuck. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Which is like the most important to know like what's in it. You push down, you look inside, all first edition should be long crimp, longer tops. You can see that. But people who fake boxes, the way they fake them, is they put two long crimp in the top. So when you do the peak test, you see.
Oh, why do we have to talk about all this all of a sudden?
So what he's talking about there is the peak test, which is when you push a box down so you can see the cards. And he's literally giving us the best way to fake these boxes, which is a lot of insider information, but it's the kind of information that I would expect an expert to have.
Yeah.
And that is that you put the real ones on top. So like if you look into the box, the only ones that you can see are real, and then the rest would be fake. So theoretically, you could get one good box, disperse it amongst a bunch of fakes, sell, cash out, lay low, have heaps of money, move on to your next scam.
Yeah.
Right?
This guy's talking a lot, isn't he? He's talking fast. It's pretty obvious. He's nervous.
From my inspection, I bought it thinking peak test worked. I understood the guy on three boxes. I've worked with him before. It all seemed legit. Huh? So, in my opinion, it looked good.
Oh, no. Oh, no, indeed. What do you think is going to happen?
It's like he's literally admitting, like, well, it's almost like they've already opened it.
He's like externalizing the blame before the bad thing happens. It's like he's about to crash a car into a lake and he's like calls the mechanic. He's like, oh, you didn't service my car recently, did you?
Yeah.
You didn't service it properly. So this guy, Leon Hart, who's the Pokemon expert, this guy just adores Pokemon. He's a real one.
Yeah. He I grabs forgot the they box. Had the they had their external checker.
Yep. So he starts looking at the box, and keep in mind this box is worth $375,000.
That's a fucking like sports car.
Yep. It's like a house in, I don't know, Queensland or something.
Yeah.
Because you do got to look for, like, specifically, this is my biggest, like, oh my God.
So Leon starts noticing that there might be a few things that are tampered with it. And the guy claims, oh, no, it's because it was stored in a gun safe since 1999, which is a weird move for a kid, as another YouTuber pointed out.
If there's ever been pressure on the top of the box, the only spot in the box that's reinforced cardboard is where it's folded up. So if this was three boxes stacked, which it was in a gun safe for 20 years, it would have had pressure right here.
So he's already kind of got like an answer for every reason that the box might be tampered with, which is a little bit suspicious. I don't know, but it's also not suspicious. So would somebody who's telling the truth. And then we get to this clip.
So you'd get these indentations regardless. That doesn't mean it was folded up. And we've done the peak test to break it to make sure.
Yep.
So could there be two packs on top taped together?
Yeah.
There's always a chance. But based on the cellophane, based on the peak test, I'd say no. We're going to find out very quickly.
Yes, we are. Here's what happens when they open the box.
Okay, it looks good initially.
Beautiful.
Looks good initially. Move the first couple packs. Let's see how we do.
Let's make it $19.99 again.
Very nice. What are we looking for underneath those packs would be bad?
The same pack. Oh,
the same thing. We want the same.
Does it say first edition? Yep. Yes, that's perfect. Keep going.
Woo!
Keep going.
So far, it's exactly all looking right. Now, if it were fake, the cards underneath the ones that Leon is about to take over would be completely fake.
Keep going. Hold on. The color's different on that one than that one.
That one's not a first edition pack.
Wait, an issue.
This is an unlimited pack.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah, look, they're open.
Yeah, no, that's a major fucking issue.
This is a resealed box.
Oh, my God, it's a resealed box.
All right, time to call the seller.
Oopsie.
Huge freaking oops. Oh, that's a major fucking issue. That's a major fucking issue. Live stream, he gets caught out. And here's the best part of the entire thing. You know, right at the end, he goes, I'm going to call the seller. Literally picks up his phone from his pocket. Within 3 seconds, is having a fake conversation with this dude.
Hi, we just opened the box, literally live, and they're resealed packs.
Look, energy cards.
Yeah.
Base set two. Yeah.
There's like base set two mixed in. Half of them are first edition, but they're all resealed. This is absolutely unacceptable. Oh no, we have another box tomorrow that we're getting. This can be fixed, no problem.
Okay, awesome.
This is not an issue. It's just this is an issue.
That's awesome.
Why they're actually being really nice to him and believing him.
They are being very, very kind to him. They end up resolving the issue. The guy manages to find another box, which isn't from his backstory at all. It's completely incongruous. Not from the same guy, even though he said that it would be. He gets like some other box. Everybody's happy, but even the way that like he deals with the cards and handles the cards is just freaking atrocious. You can tell that this guy is in it exclusively for the money. He doesn't give a shit about Pokemon.
His childhood dream. His nostalgia.
No, it's nostalgia, bro. And then meanwhile, here's the best part. Here's the kicker. He's continuing to sell cards.
Final judgment.
If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is the part of the show where we say, does the content that we have brought in from the internet prove whether or not God has died? Bryce, is God dead?
I mean, this is just shitty. Like, business and just shadiness in general. I think, look, I don't know anything about these YouTubers that want to open stuff or if Logan Paul is genuinely into Pokemon cards or not, but this guy operating in plain sight, you know, finessing people and being called out on it, but somehow he's still kind of doing his thing and people are still working with him. It's kind of just bad behavior, isn't it? Like, it's sort of just taking advantage of, God, I don't even know. Like, he's kind of doing... The thing that you would want to do is like, all right, I want to be a collector a seller. I'll make it into a YouTube channel and I'll make it a lifestyle thing and I'll give people like an insight into the journey. Except he's not doing it properly. He's fucking people up. And if he's target audience of people that really know their stuff, then like, I don't know, I'm kind of baffled. I love the God is Alive section is just the opening reveal of, you know, the box and just him just being like, oh, let me call my guy. And
let
like,
me call my guy. Let me
I
call my
love
guy.
Being, seeing people just absolutely get confronted like that.
With, caught out on camera. Know,
and seeing how they get out of it.
The way that I think God's dead is, as I think I used to do this in previous episodes, but like I would sort of multiply the behavior of the bad person onto the entire world. Mm. And if we had a whole world full of collectibles guru, what would that world look like?
Oh, man.
And for me, it's just like the biggest example of disrespect for your fellow man, selfishness, and short-term thinking.
Yeah.
like that holy trinity of just shitty traits just put into one. It, like the disrespect because it's patronizing. If I think you're dumb enough, like if you're smart enough to be Logan Paul, or if you're smart enough to earn the money that dumb money earned, you're probably smart enough to see through this bullshit.
Yeah.
Or if you're smart enough to be Leon Hart, like a complete expert on Pokemon. Like he has such little respect for other people, and I think that's what annoys me.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, obviously the whole short-term aspect of scams in general, where it's like, yeah, I'll just get in, get out, and smoke weed on the beach, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think it's like, man, if that's the way that you see life, like we're gonna be around for a very long time.
Funny, I totally. That just raises a peripheral point in that, like, it's really funny how people underestimate so quickly. People in the category of Logan Paul, no matter what you think about him or his content or like someone like, you know, maybe like a singer or something, people go, well, you must just be a dumb famous person.
Like Ariana Grande?
I mean, if anyone that's just in that realm that has been memed by people like, I'm sure like a Kim Kardashian or whatever.
Yeah.
We know for a fact you don't get to a level like that without smarts of some kind. Logan Paul and Kim Kardashian have probably made mistakes in their life and that's a separate issue. But like to the core, it doesn't mean you can finesse them. Like, and I love, like you say, that disrespect of like, oh, well, you're not a business person, so I'll fucking get you. Like, I don't think that's how it works. And I wish God's dead because this guy hasn't been owned harder, you know, and on a bigger live stream.
God's dead.
Why do you think he's still getting away with it? How come this wasn't the end of him?
Well, okay, so this is probably where God is alive, and that is the brutality and savageness of the market. And this is what I love about the internet in general, is there's no gatekeeper saying this person can do stuff, this person can't do stuff. And this is definitely big God's alive territory. Instead, what you have is the market, and to satisfy the market is pretty much the hardest thing in the world. And if the market decides they don't like you, just hundreds and hundreds of commenters, even thousands of commenters, all these people from the Pokemon community have decided, nah, dude, you're just trying to like jack our shit.
Mm.
Then you're toast. You're toast. And that's beautiful because it's sort of the self-regulation that I believe people who want to abolish government dream of. And it's nice to get a taste of it. I'm not saying I lie with them politically or don't lie with them politically, by the way. But it's nice to see what a self-governing state would look like. And seeing those YouTube comments that anytime this guy shows up or even on Instagram, everyone's like, scammer, 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 don't trust, scammer, fuck this guy, scammer, is just so satisfying. So for that reason, screw it. God's alive.
Yeah, it's nice to see people backing each other and looking out for a fellow person, you know?
Hell yeah. Got to catch them all.
All right, you know, what a time, what a time.
We are running Tuesdays, but next week we'll be back to running Mondays.
Running those Mondays. Look, everything visually, God is dead, not clickbait. And of course, thank you for leaving your reviews. I reckon maybe we talk about this week the reviews, the category is...
Can you congratulate Bryce for something that isn't his big obvious news? Can you just be like, Bryce, I can't believe that this big thing happened to you. Oh my God, I've been wanting to congratulate you for a while.
Yeah.
You got a haircut. It's so lovely and it suits you. It just frames your face. It's amazing.
Yeah, new haircut compliments. If you haven't done a review before, just hit it on Apple. It helps out obviously a lot. Like
share it with
said,
a friend, man. You know, that's the friggin' business. Isn't
send
it?
This thing around. Obviously you got the back catalogue. Dive in anywhere, anytime. Anything you like, Cam Struthler 69 on Insta.
Bryce V Mills.
And you are loved. Love you.
Love you.
Case closed.